Hey everybody, I'm Jack, if you didn't know. Graduate student, just finished my graduate degree at New Mexico State and starting at Ohio State here in the fall. I want to re-emphasize that, you know, this workshop was put together because of input from other graduate students and where they saw, deficiencies in their training and wanted to know more about. So please participate as much as you can. I have a very brief presentation because, reality is you're graduate students and I'm graduate student, and you guys know just as much as me, but I'm just going to mention a few points that I think are good to consider about managing money as a graduate student and how to pay for your education, and stop me along the way if you need to, or tell me if I forgot anything else. So, balancing funding as a horticulture graduate student can be tricky, but obviously, whether there's undergraduates in the room or you're continuing your education, you should know that there is never a reason to pay for your graduate school. If you're not getting an assistantship or other money to go to school, then you're not entering the correct degree program, I think. If you don't know, fellowships are, I think, the ideal situation, because you're funded outside of the university or a specific fellowship from the university, and you can do exactly what you want to do, and you don't really, you're not really working for someone else. You're funded for a specific project. There's a lot of opportunities. The USDA has a lot of fellowships, and a quick search. I mean, I know of people with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation fellowships in horticulture to do international travel. I Googled it yesterday or a couple of days ago and found the Smithsonian Gardens offers a fellowship, which is, appropriate being in D.C. My university offers a lot of fellowships too. These are for students that are much smarter than I. I don't qualify for any fellowship in the world because I don't have perfect grades or anything, but if you're very scholarly, then absolutely consider fellowships. And then if not, like most of us, we have assistantships where you have additional responsibilities outside of your thesis or dissertation, working, I think if not actually conducting research or teaching in your department or research for your boss. Also important is going to meetings. As you all know, you're here at ASHS, and so that can be a tricky way to find money. I found, actually, in my experience in New Mexico, student organizations and student government was a really good way to fund some travel. I was president of our graduate student organization for a while, and outside of money, you get to know your colleagues, and it's nice to share your experience with other graduate students and know that you're not the only one struggling. And then, of course, you get to expand some practical knowledge. And for me, some days, so for instance, we did a lot of fundraising in our graduate student organization. We have an annual pumpkin sale. And sometimes I'm, spend a lot of days in a lab or writing, and I don't like that all the time. And so it's really cool to go and work in the field early morning and hoe weeds, and harvesting a pumpkin is the most satisfying thing in the world, and that's why we're horticulturalists. And so it's just kind of a good way to exercise some practice, like put your knowledge to practice outside of just doing research. And as a result, we grew, I think, 1,500 pounds of pumpkins this past year, made about $1,000, all volunteer work, that's all profit. And these not only this money will go back into our student organization, and that buys pizza for meetings, but mostly what it does is we have our graduate students who are members of our department graduate student organizations can apply for travel funding. We don't have a ton of money, but if you were going to a conference within state or close by, we'll give $200 or $300 or whatever we have, and that, we had more money the more participation happened. But that was a very simple way to get a little bit of money for traveling. I was also vice president of our graduate student council at New Mexico State, which is represents all of graduate students in the university. And this had a lot of benefits. This was actually a very cool experience, and I don't think many horticulture students get involved with this kind of thing. The student government at NMSU allocated $1,000. So essentially, the Graduate Student Council represented these graduate student organizations that I just mentioned, for which are departmental. And with every active graduate student organization, the student government gave the Graduate Council $1,000. So this past year, we had $30,000 allocated. I mean, and this is an addition. This is solely for student travel. We had a bigger budget than that as well. And so graduate students could apply. You get with your graduate student senators, and they help you draft a bill, and you can get refunded and make up to $1,000 for travel each. And I thought that was a really good resource. It was really tedious to do the process sometimes, but you know, that's why we have senators that are supposed to help us with that. And so a lot of people either didn't know about it, or they didn't want to fill out the paperwork. But fill out the paperwork. It's money, you know. Another cool thing is if you want to be actually like really involved with these things, so serving on the executive committee of the Graduate Student Council came with a 0.25 additional assistantship. So my last year at New Mexico State, I was on a 25-hour appointment. So I just earned a bigger paycheck and learned about how, really, I learned a lot of like how public universities operate and how political they are and how, but it was really helpful for me in particular because I'm interested in working for a university and in public research, and it's good to know how things happen beyond just the research you're doing. There's a lot of, you know, administrators have a lot of power over our lives, and it's good to know how new programs and are enacted and how to accomplish things you want to do in a university system. So I learned that a lot through Graduate Student Council. What else? Obviously, you know, but those are our pumpkins we grew last year. They're really pretty. Let's see. So, and then outside, so we have funding your education, travel, and then also it's a good idea to do more than just your thesis work and fund additional research. I'm entering my PhD, and I know what project I'm going to do, but there's also a lot of, you know, especially if you're going to keep working in research, you want to get a lot of irons in the fire, which is another, what was that term you used? Under the gun and idiom. I can't believe, I feel so silly, stupid, really. I didn't even know that word, but now I know. So irons in the fire is another idiom you might want to add. So you have lots of things going on. I'm not sure if that's reference to like metalworking, maybe. Gotta keep those irons in the fire. So, and it's good, you know, publish more and get more experience. So to do that, scholarships, obviously. Scholarships, you know, help you with your education, but also, for instance, at New Mexico State, we have a scholarship called this, and it came, not only did it, you know, it, you earned the scholarship if you did an additional practical or technical project. So it wasn't, unlike other scholarships, it wasn't just to pay for your classes. It was also, you needed to complete something else. And that could probably be a really small thing and get a little extra money for your... And then applying to grants is a really good, you know, if you're... major professors are applying for grants wherever you can get involved in that. That's a really good practice. And then things like, you know, at Ohio State University, there's something called the SEEDS grant, which is really good for graduate students to apply. It's a smaller, I think maybe they do $5,000 grants. And that's one, if you're not aware, any of us, we can't apply for specialty crop research for USDA. Well, it's impossible for us to really... As a graduate student, you can't earn that kind of grant. But these kinds of grants you can actually earn, written mainly by a graduate student, and get an extra $5,000 or something and do another project. and I intend on applying for this here in this next semester as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, ask your advisor. They are going to be excited that you want to do more. And ask your advisor about everything. It's good to have a person. It's good to not be too personal. Like you said, you don't want to send them a funny text and then take it the wrong way. But also, it's good to be close to your advisor. They're there to help you, and they like that you're interested. So that's really all I could think of as far as categories of what you might, you know, looking at this topic. I figured travel, research, and but I'm curious if anybody has any questions or wants to bring up any points that I didn't address. Let's talk about it. But maybe that's it. Maybe y'all are also funded.
I just want to second your suggestion.
Ooh, let's do the microphone. Sorry.
Thanks.
I just want to second the suggestion to try to get a grant for yourself. I'm nearing the end of my PhD, so I had one faculty interview so far, which I didn't get, but it was a good experience because I started hearing some of those questions that I might be asked someday. And one of the key things they really wanted to know is, have you gotten funding and managed your own budget before? And so if you can have done that as a grad student, which I have had the opportunity to do, it puts you in a good position.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up again. That's good. We can discuss or not. Yeah, please, come on.
So I think in organizing this with Jack, I think a lot we think about how to get more funding. But then I was thinking about how to protect the funding you have. And I think one thing I've learned a lot is it's very hard to say no to your advisor. But I think in this day and age, we're technically paid for what? Supposedly 20 hours.
Yeah,
I'm talking about
usually.
Citizenship. I think when you're self-funded, you kind of have a bit more leverage. And what I've seen is, but when you're not self-funded or on a fellowship, we're kind of stuck. We're employed 50%, but we really are getting paid probably $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say we should be confident and, you know, if you felt like you've worked, I mean, yeah, you have to finish a project, but I think there's a fine balance of watch your hours. I don't think you should need to feel like you need to be
you
a slave. I mean, if you've done
right,
what you need to do for that week, don't feel pressure to do more projects.
Right.
I don't know. It's the previous comment of experience is great and ask your advisor. But at the same time, I feel like we do so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already technically, according to the government, employees. And you go to the, like, I guess, I want to say we have a real job, but if you go into the real world, everything you do, you get paid for. So sometimes I don't understand. We do all these extra stuff, and we don't get paid for it, and we kind of feel pressure to do it. So I don't know. I think unless we start to stand up and, I don't know, we're the future professors, some of us. And so I think unless we change, we're just going to probably do what our, you know, like idioms, you do what your parents do and stuff. We always say we're not going to do what our mentor did, but then I always see mentors end up doing, repeating the same things, and we forget about what graduate student life was like and the same thing. So I just think it's important to value our time because I feel like we do so much and increasingly for less.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that's a great point. Know your limits. The privilege of a research assistantship is that you make your own hours, and there are some weeks where you work 5 hours for your boss, but then there are other weeks where you work 60 hours of additional work. And, you know, in academia, there's such a culture to work because work as hard as you can. Who cares about the money, right? But also, know your limits and self-worth and don't do more than what you're supposed to.
Respectfully, we make the same pay as our advisor. Okay, I'd be fine working.
Sure,
but
even then, I mean, you see it in your professors who are strung out and working way too much, and you know, honestly, they're not compensated well enough to be putting the work in that they do. But they love what they do, so just know you don't have to work all day and all night.
Hi, just a comment. I'd like to second what Travis said. So I just started my PhD as well, and last week I got added to my, or 2 weeks before I got added to the lab calendar. So that's very useful to take days off. Because, you know, when your lab is in or when your supervisor is in and out. Because for me, it's apple harvest season, that's the main. So I'm going to be working a lot of hours in September and October. So I don't feel guilty if I take a few days or one or two days off here and then, because I know I'm going to be working for almost 15 hours a day for 2 months. So, yeah, if you know that it's coming, I mean, you can't do anything about the harvest. It comes when it comes. So I don't feel guilty if I take one or 2 days off. I think, when take time for yourself.
I am an early morning person, and I'm most productive early in the morning. Often, in my peak times of the year, I like to go into work at 6 a.m. because no one's around. But also, holy hell, that's really early. And doing that multiple times a week is really hard. I also used to go into the lab 7 days a week, so I would always, even if it was only for a few hours, I made sure that I was at, you know, there on a Saturday at least 3 hours. And I quit that this last year. I go in on Sunday, but I don't go in on Saturday. And not working on Saturday has, my productivity is out the roof. I do so much more. When I was trying to work every day, I didn't get anything done because I was overextending myself. So yeah, take a break. That's what I see. Like, Saturday is no work. That's always a thing for me now. So. Maybe. Oh, sorry. You don't even have to work 6 days a week. Yeah. Stop on Saturday and Sunday. That's fine too.
I guess 30.
I like a little bit of Sunday work because Sundays are nice for that. I don't know why.
Starting the previous comment. if your advisor, and I don't really know if this is legally required, but if they say you get 2 weeks off in a year. I think it's important to choose those 2 weeks. I think, I'm not going to give names, but personally, I feel in my experience, you get pressured into the December winter break, or you just get pressured into whenever your advisor takes 2 weeks off, which may work for you. Kind of, I guess, I work on an apple, so it kind of works with harvest. But I feel like some students don't speak up and take the 2 weeks when they want to take it. And again, we are technically, I guess, 50% employees. And those who I know who don't work in research, when they want their 2 weeks, they have to give notice, but they get their 2 weeks. They don't just take it when the boss says, you know what, you can get your 2 weeks this week. So, again, thinking about speaking up, if the advisor, again, I don't know if it's legally required, says you get 2 weeks off, make sure you give them notice, but choose what those 2 weeks are, rather than just getting pressured into maybe Christmas break, because that also happens to be when they're leaving.
Yesterday, I filled out my application or my employment documents and stuff, and Ohio has a retirement plan for their graduate students, which scared the hell out of me because I've never thought about retirement. But it's almost harder to not do the retirement plan, so I signed up for it, I guess, and they're going to take it out of my paycheck, which is kind of cool to think that I'm starting that in my life. But it reminded me that we're employees. We are not just students. So yeah, you can. Stand up for yourself as an employee, you know. Retirement, also scary.
I had this conversation last night with my roommate about making sure that we're protecting our time. And one way that I started to implement that, I guess, was that I started to not send emails after 5:30 and not really early in the morning. Sometimes I check them late at night and then I write them, but I don't send them till early in the morning. And I do this to make sure that I'm protecting my time, but I'm protecting the other person's time as well, because I don't want them to feel pressure that they need to email me back. So 'cause they have a life after work too. So I think that was my first step in making sure that I'm protecting and using my time like it should be. But any more on any of both funding and making sure that we're protecting, you know, how we're using that?
Yeah, funny, actually, this turned completely away from funding your graduate student experience and talking about how you don't have to work your ass off. So this is recorded, so I should speak without bad language.
Yeah, talking about funding, you mentioned seeds in your university. I think...
Is that in all universities? Because I'd never heard of it until Ohio. So maybe actually that's for everybody.
I think a good amount of money is in student share grant. I think that's also keep in mind, which can pay all your tuition fee and provide you a stipend. So
okay, good to know.
That's also
student share, like SARE. I was almost went to the whiteboard. I was going to write that, but we don't have a whiteboard. Sustainable, yeah, okay, because I've heard of SARE grants for, I didn't know there was ones that were for students. That's good to know. I'll look into that.
And another thing is to look at your industry as well and look for companies, but also like the nonprofit organizations too, because a lot of times they'll have a lot of funds for graduate students, for travel, for research grants, for just scholarships, just for being in a grad student to help you with like your living expenses. So those are other options for funding.
Yeah, look, pay attention to the end of the slides and all this conference. I was amazed to see where everybody got funded from. I didn't know, the companies just will give you all the money to do your graduate work. Companies have a lot of money, too.
So any other?
Oh, here's one back there.
We're recording.
Just a second. Asking public companies for supplies this year for some projects. We got an insane amount of things donated, plants, plastic, irrigation supplies.
Oh, wow, really?
And I never knew that just asking, they're generally pretty willing to give it to you. You say, we'll share our results and we'll acknowledge you. And we got so much for free. It was awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and I would add to that, the reputation of the university goes a long way, especially if you're a land-grant university, because they're like, you work for Oregon State. Yeah, we'd love to help out. What can we donate kind of thing.
Yeah, so maybe you can kind of leverage that the value institutional. Of the work you do. Yeah, that's good to know. Cool. Get it going. I'm glad I made a short presentation. I'll blame it on wanting discussion, but also I just didn't make it long.
Well, it works. Questions. Maybe we'll let Suresh answer non-domestic or input for that, but I'll bring up taxes. If you get a scholarship and other forms of money, I think remember to find out about what tax is yours, or realize that when you get that money, don't spend 100% immediately, because then when you have to go pay whatever taxes you owe on it, now what are you going to do? Because the government is going to want it when they want it. And I don't know how it is for non-domestic students. I'm guessing the same situation, and maybe you can give input on how non-domestic students file taxes.
If you make any income, you have to file taxes. That's the law. We can't be exempt. And talking about a scholarship, I was so happy when I got $10,000 scholarship from Annie's. And then at the end, when you file your taxes, quite a bit of money you have to return.
Really?
So as Travis said, don't spend all your money. Even when I got $2,000 scholarship, I think 20% or so was, I had to return it.
20%?
Yeah.
Zero?
Yeah.
I guess I'm glad that I'm not smart enough to get many scholarships, because I got a lot back up. This is
so
the first,
keep in mind when you get a scholarship, this percent for tax.
Wow.